Man, I love that. I love that song that we just sang. I told the 6 o'clock service this, that like, you know, some songs, you sing them because you believe them, and then there's some songs that it's like you sing them until you believe them, and that is that song for me. And I don't know, maybe it's that song for you, but I know that so many of us, so often, we want to give God everything. We want to be able to say, like, Lord, I am available, take me, use me, do whatever you want to. But then there's this little part of us that we just want to hold on to. And I love songs like that because it's just over and over and over again reinforcing that truth, telling God, like, Lord, it's not 99% of me. You can have even that last little 1%. So I think that's so good. Kind of leads into where we're going to be going tonight. I'm excited. We're going to start a new series tonight called God Speaks. It's going to take us all the way to the end of the semester, which, by the way, you guys know we're really close to the end of the semester. Like, there should be a swirl of emotions there. Your finals are coming, so that's a little scary. But you're also, like, Christmas break's coming, Thanksgiving's coming, so that's awesome. How many of you would say Christmas is here? Anybody?
Let's go.
All right. Tis the season. That's right. How many of you would say Christmas doesn't start till December 1st? All right. Any like Black Friday? Christmas starts on Black Friday? That's kind of me. I'm kind of the Black Friday crowd. But look, I can get down with it. Aaliyah played November 1st. She played Christmas music for me. I was kind of liking it. If the weather would get a little cooler, it'd be a little easier, wouldn't it? All right, hey, I am looking forward to what we're going to be talking about tonight. One of the most incredible things that has happened to me over the course of like the past few years of my life, really, I think my entire life, is the privilege of getting to become a dad. I've told you guys a lot about my journey in fatherhood. I mean, I'm telling you, there are probably some guys that are in the same boat as me, but I feel like I started with zero, like, negative knowledge when it came to children, y'all. Like, I feel like there are some things that people walk into fatherhood, and it's just like, these are commonly known things. And all of those things, I did not know them. So many. I mean, just had no idea. But I've been learning and growing and getting better at this fatherhood thing. And we're in a really cool stage right now. You know, there's all kinds of different stages and things like that as you're watching your baby grow up. But for ours, Charlie is really into, like, she's growing a lot in language. Okay, so let me tell you kind of about, like, how I've seen this happen in her life. When you first have a baby and they're a little newborn, you know, you hold them and you talk to them because they're so small and sweet and adorable, and so you're talking to them, but they do not have a clue that you are talking to them. I mean, they just stare into the great beyond, not looking at you. They have no idea that you are actually talking, much less that sound that they hear is like coming from you. They don't know that they're like that you are their parent, none of that stuff, right? It's just, they're just there. And then slowly, little by little, you begin to see them just learn to recognize their parent's voice. Like, I remember, you know, Charlie, whenever she was crawling around and pulling up on things, we kind of began to see the wheels start to turn in her mind. Like, when myself and her mom would speak to her, all of a sudden she's like turning and recognizing that the voice that's coming, that she's hearing, is coming from her mom and her dad. She's in this really fun stage right now, where it's not just like, okay, now she's hearing the voice. It's not just like that she's recognizing who the voice is coming from, but she's actually starting to like understand a little bit of it, and it is the most adorable thing ever. She understands, like, when I tell her, I'll tell her bye now whenever I leave. I'll say, bye, Charlie, and she says, bye-bye. It's the most, like, it's the sweetest thing ever. We've taught her, so she knows, like, hey. She just runs around all the time. We'll tell anyone and anything, hey, like, just all the time is what she does. And then we've also taught her my personal favorite, touchdown. She knows touchdown. She's not, like, you know, referee. She would get it wrong if she was a referee, because when we say touchdown, she goes like this. That's a field goal, but it's okay. It's very similar. I'm so proud of her. Matter of fact, I'll tell you guys this. I heard the very first time, like, you're going to think I'm crazy. This was like months ago. I had just woke her up from her nap, was changing her diaper. It was Sunday. It was after church. We were watching the Jaguars downstairs. I said, Charlie, do you want to go watch the Jaguars? She says, Jaguars? I almost cried in the room right there. Anyways, that wasn't a part of the story that I was supposed to tell. Got carried away. Look, I think that seeing a child come into, like, learning language is really a beautiful picture of kind of how our life looks like as believers in Jesus when it comes to hearing and knowing the voice of God. Over the course of the next 3 weeks, we're going to be starting a new sermon series called God Speaks. It's going to be all about learning to hear and discern the voice of God in our life. All right? And I think all of us have probably come in here at like a different point in our development when it comes to hearing and understanding the voice of God. Maybe some of you walked in here tonight and like you're a relatively new believer. And when God speaks to you, you would kind of be like that newborn that just stares off into space. And you're like, I don't know if the voice talking to me is just in my head or if it's the voice of God. Maybe some of you are like a little bit further down the road. It's like, you know, that like you can sense God like is prompting you, but you're having a really hard time discerning what it is that he's actually saying. Or maybe for some of you, you're a little further down the road. Like you would say, man, God has spoken to me. God has led me specifically in certain areas of my life. Well, no matter where you're at on this spectrum of learning to hear God speak and discerning his voice, my hope is that tonight you would take a step and over these next few weeks that you would take a step in learning to hear and discern God's voice. The point of this series is to help you understand that God still speaks. Do y'all believe that? Do y'all believe that God still speaks? All right. The point of this series is to help you understand that not only does God still speak, but that you can hear him. And not only that, but when you hear him, that you'll never be the same. Like that he will change you from the inside out. Time after time in Scripture, God speaks to his people. And I'm not just talking about like the burning bush, like dramatic encounters. I'm not talking about like God speaking through a donkey, okay? I'm talking about just like the everyday encounters. We see time after time after time in Scripture that God will simply, like you'll see these verses that say, God said, and then they did this. Like it's the same thing. God speaks, people do. And so we're talking about these everyday encounters of God speaking. And it's often on the heels of those encounters that God does his most incredible work. You know, so often I think in our life, when it comes to our relationship with God, we think that a relationship with God just flows one way, that it's from us to him. Okay? We think that a relationship with Jesus is exclusively about living our life to give God glory and honor and praise. And like it is. But there's also a flip side. That while we live our life from us to him, like giving him praise, giving him honor and glory, leveraging our life for the incredible cause of the kingdom of Jesus, not only does it work this way, but it also works the opposite direction. That God would actually, like the king of the universe, would do something in you. That God, like a relationship with him, is not like just solely about you giving him glory. Like it is, but he also wants to do something to change you. He wants to do a work in and through you, like in an intimate relationship with you. It's not just like a big picture, oh man, Jesus loves everybody like he does, but he also like specifically wants to do something in and through your life and your circumstances. And the sad reality is for some people, they settle for a version of Christianity that does not position them to know God, but just know about God. Like there's a lot of people that will never get to a point in their life where they truly experience this blessing of like knowing God on an intimate level, because they'll settle for surface level Christianity, knowing facts about God, but not actually stepping into like this genuine, intimate relationship that he wants with you. And so tonight, really what I want us to do is twofold. I want to start by just sharing with you this fact that God has a voice. I just want you to see that in Scripture. And then what we're going to do is we're actually going to land in a little bit in 1 Kings chapter 19. In 1 Kings chapter 19, if you have your Bible, you can turn there. And we're going to kind of look at a case study of what it looks like when God speaks. So I want to show you that God has a voice, but then I want to ask the question, well, if God has a voice, how do we hear it? And we'll look at that case study in 1 Kings 19 in just a little bit. But to start us off tonight, I told you I want you to understand that God has a voice, that God still speaks to his people. You know, there's two very popular views when it comes to God speaking to his people. You've got one end of the spectrum that would maybe say that there is, like, God cannot speak in any means other than through the Bible. Like, the only way that God could speak to you is that if you open the Bible and read the words on the page. Then on the other end of the spectrum, you've got some people that would say, oh, God actually goes beyond the Bible to speak, so much so that he speaks through everything. And matter of fact, he speaks so much, so frequently, that he would add to or say things that would contradict what he's already said in his word. These are kind of two schools of thought when it comes to God's voice. And I want you to know that if we take either of those schools of thought and hold them up against the totality of Scripture, you'll find out that each of those things are wrong. School of thought number one, this idea that God only speaks whenever we open up the Bible and read the words on the page, that is the only means by which God could communicate to us. That school of thought, man, if you hear people that are in that school of thought, they might say things like this. Well, hey, rather than seeking personal communication from God, just focus on the teachings already in Scripture. They would say, hey, the Holy Spirit spoke to inspire Scripture. And it's your job to take it and apply it and figure out what to do with it. They would say things like, God doesn't speak to you outside of reading his word and applying it to your life. But I want you guys to see this, that if we look at this book and we just like kind of, as if we're on a desert island, never having heard any of this before, we just open this book and begin to read it. What you'll see is that through both the Old and New Testament, God speaks to his children. God speaks to his people through a variety of different methods, in a variety of different ways, at a variety of different times. In the Old Testament, like before God's people had a scripture, before there was broad knowledge of God anywhere in the world, God would speak in some pretty dramatic ways to get people's attention. In the Old Testament, we see God speak through creation, angels, prophets, dreams, visions, fire, a gentle voice, through preaching. Remember this story? Through writing on a wall. He spoke through a donkey. He spoke through a burning bush and so many other different ways in the Old Testament. So we see just through the Old Testament that God isn't just confined through the words on a page to speak, but also in the New Testament. In the New Testament, God does speak through Scripture because at that point in time, the people of the New Testament, they had a Scripture. They had the Torah. They had the Old Testament. So God would speak through the Old Testament, but he spoke through the risen Jesus. He spoke through nature. He spoke through angels. He spoke through dreams, visions, specific words. He spoke through prayer, and he spoke through the church. And here's the thing. When we look at the Bible as a whole, we see all those different things, all those different methods and ways that God spoke to his people. There is nothing in the Bible that indicates to us that when John put the final period on the final sentence of the book of Revelation, that all of a sudden God just stopped talking to us without giving us any warning. And so to hold the idea, to be in the school of thought, that the only way that God could speak to us is through the words on these pages, like through us opening this book and just seeing these words, would be to say things like, oh, well, you can't hear from God through prayer. That prayer is just a one-way street. It's just you throwing up your requests to God and hopefully he'll do something about them. You also would say that, like, there's no way that God could speak through people. There's no way that God could speak through, like, the people in your small group. There's no way that God could speak through, like, godly, wise counsel. This is a school of thought that people fall into, and I just want you to know, like, yes, God speaks through his word. Yes, his word is complete, and anyone who adds anything to it is totally in sin. However, God has chosen to speak through all kinds of different methods and all kinds of different ways, and it's our job to discern how God is speaking to us. Now, There's another school of thought that I told you about that gets into more danger on the other end. You know, because while you have the one school of thought that we just talked about, there's another school of thought that would say, well, God actually speaks in all different kinds of ways, so much so that he would be willing to say things that contradict the Bible. Okay? So these kinds of people who would fall into this school of thought often think that God speaks in like every little thing that happens. Oh man, I'm walking through campus and I see a leaf fall from a tree and it lands on my foot. This must mean that I'm supposed to take a right turn. And like crazy things that people hear and do. They think God speaks through everything and that the things that he says has nothing to do with his word. Let me explain why scripture does not support that school of thought. Numbers chapter 23 verse 19 says, God is not a man that he should lie. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33 says, God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. Here's the reality. When God wrote this book, again, we believe that all scripture was inspired by God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is God's word, inspired by God. For God to then speak to someone in such a way that it contradicts what he wrote in his word would make God a liar, and God is not God if God is a liar. That's what these verses say. God is not a man that he should lie. God will not speak in ways that run contradictory to his word. All right? Now, people will oftentimes, I say often, this school of thought can lead to the danger of people saying that God spoke to them and using that as an irrefutable way to do whatever, like to justify what they want to do, right? There are like documentaries about this on Netflix, okay? Have y'all seen the Waco documentary? Like this whole idea is that there was this man named David Koresh that claimed that God spoke to him something that went against what we see in God's word, and he got all these different people to follow him, because can you really refute somebody that said that they heard from God himself? He got all these people to follow him, takes him to this compound, convinces them to do all these crazy things, and they actually end up dying in the end. This is a dangerous school of thought and can lead to all kinds of dangerous things. So you're going, okay, well, it's not this school of thought that you said over here. It's not this school of thought. Where are we at? God has a voice. You're saying he doesn't just speak through his word, but he also doesn't contradict his word. So what does that mean? Well, here's where we land. Here's what I think scripture supports most clearly and supports the best. God does speak to his people. Like, praise the Lord that we have a relationship with a God that speaks to his people. He speaks to his people, but when he speaks, he does not give new revelation about himself or what he said in Scripture. God speaking to you is not about him giving you new revelation. No, when God speaks to you, he's not giving new revelation. He's giving application of his word to the specific circumstances of our life. That's what God will speak, how God will speak to you. He wants to help you take what he said in his perfect, inerrant, that means without error, complete word, and he wants to help you apply that to your life. He wants to help you use his word to make you more like him. John chapter 10, verse 27 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life. And they'll never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." So God's word is clear that God has a voice, that God wants to speak to you. And like, honestly, may we not like lose sight of the weight of that. That the King of Kings, the God who like set the galaxies in motion, wants to speak to you. God has a voice. God has a voice, but how do we hear it? Because if we just take what we read in John chapter 10, there's a hearing component, isn't there? Like God speaks, but we have to be ready to hear. My sheep hear my voice. So we'll land together, we'll finish our time together tonight by asking this question. okay, if God has a voice, how do we hear it? Hopefully by now you are in 1 Kings 19. When we turn to 1 Kings 19, what we'll find is that we're picking up kind of in the middle of a narrative of a prophet named Elijah. Now, Elijah was a prophet, which simply means that God would speak to Elijah so Elijah could speak to God's people. Elijah spoke on behalf of God to God's people. And Elijah was a prophet during the reign of a wicked king named Ahab. Ahab was a wicked king of the people of Israel, the people of God. And the Bible says that Ahab was one of the most wicked kings in all of the history of the people of Israel. That King Ahab literally turned the hearts of the people away from God. He had them pursue and worship false idols. He had them worship false gods. And Elijah was sent to carry out God's mission in this crazy reign of such a wicked king. And so early on in Elijah's life, God gives him a word, sends him to Ahab and says, Ahab, if you don't stop what you're doing, I'm going to send a drought and it's going to last for 7 years. And so Elijah goes and tells Ahab about this drought. Ahab doesn't stop what he's doing. This drought happens and it is devastating. And of course, Ahab is furious because he blames Elijah. I mean, don't kill the messenger, right? He blames Elijah. Elijah runs off into the wilderness to hide. Well, finally, kind of towards the end of this drought, there's this moment where like this tension between Elijah and Ahab all comes to a point. It all comes to a head. In chapter 18, the chapter right before what we're about to read, there's like this showdown on a mountain called Mount Carmel. And it's Elijah versus the prophets of Baal. It's Elijah, like he follows the one true God versus the followers, like the leaders of this false God. They come together on this mountain, and basically it's like this showdown. We're both going to build an altar. We're both going to try to call down fire from our God. We're both going to ask our God to send down fire on this altar. And we're going to see whose God's the real God, whose God is the one true God. So you can imagine the people of the prophets of Baal, man, they do all their things. They're dancing, cutting themselves, doing crazy things. Their false gods do nothing. Elijah, he builds his altar. He actually covers it in water to make a point. And then he goes and prays to Yahweh, the one true God. God sends down fire on this altar, and it's like a spectacle to everybody watching that Yahweh is the one true God. And you can imagine that King Ahab did not like that. And there was somebody who didn't like that even more, and it was his wife by the name of Jezebel. Y'all ever heard of Jezebel? Y'all have any friends named Jezebel? There's not, you don't. And that's why, because she was horrible, okay? So she had like a terrible, terrible reputation in the Bible, really starting from this moment where King Ahab says, like he's just embarrassed, he's defeated, and Jezebel looks at Ahab and she goes, I'm going to kill Elijah. I'm going to kill him for you. And so Elijah catches wind of this and he runs into the wilderness to hide. And we pick up in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 3 and 4, this is where Elijah has run into the wilderness to hide. The Bible says, then he was afraid. He arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. Verse 4, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree, and he asked that he might die, saying, it's enough now, Lord. Take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers. Elijah is in this place in his life where he is like at the lowest of the low. Not because he's done something wrong, but because he's confused. He's looking at God going, God, I've done everything that I know to do for you. Like I've followed your word and your ways, yet there's people coming after me trying to kill me. What do I do? I don't even want to be here anymore. Elijah is in a spot in his life, a place in his life where he just needs to hear from God. Do you guys ever find yourself at a point in your life where you just need to hear from God? Like you just feel like, man, you're walking, but you are at a crossroads and you don't know which way to turn. You're like, man, life is good, and then all of a sudden something happens, throws everything out of balance, and you're like, God, I just don't know what to do. And it doesn't even have to be like dangerous, like terrible situations. I know what you guys are walking through in this room. I've been in your shoes. I know that y'all all want to hear from God about who that spouse is going to be one day, don't you? But in addition to that, like some of you, it's a little bit more real right now. Like you're a junior or a senior, and you're going, I don't know what I'm going to do after I walk across that stage. Like I've been working on this degree, but Lord, I have no idea what's next. We all find ourselves in places where we need to hear from God. And the question is, how do we do it? We all want to hear from God, but how do we do so? With the last little bit of time that I have, I want to give you three things very quickly that you can use to help hear from God. And the first thing is this: when you want to hear from God, seek His voice. Seek His voice. Read with me in chapter 19, verse 9. The Bible says, "There Elijah came to a cave and lodged in it. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' He said, 'I've been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away.'" Y'all, what we just read in these verses is this. Elijah is about to, not in those verses, but here in a few verses, he is about to hear from God in an incredible way that I think we're going to be able to take so much from. But there are some things that happen that we just read in those verses on the front end that I believe put Elijah in a place that he is going to be able to hear from God in just a few verses. And the first one is that Elijah is seeking God's voice. If you noticed in verse 10, Elijah says, "I've been very jealous for the Lord. I've been very jealous for the Lord." Some of your Bibles tonight might actually switch the J for a Z. Like, I have been zealous for the Lord. What that phrase communicates is like, God, I am passionately seeking after you. You know, there's a lot of us in here tonight that would say, God, I want to seek after you with everything that I have. But while we say that, there's still a little part of us that we're withholding. We say, God, I want you to speak into this area of my life, but I'm actually just going to keep this other last little area to myself. God, I want you to speak into my future, but I don't want you to speak into my dating relationships. God, I want you to speak into this difficult circumstance in my life, but I don't want you to speak into the way that I use my time. No. See, there's a verse in Jeremiah chapter 29 that says, "Then you'll call upon me and you're going to come and pray to me and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." I love that last phrase. You'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Not 75% of your heart. Not the things of your heart that you want to allow God into. No. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Y'all, I think so many of us tell ourselves, I'm seeking God. I am. I'm doing that. I'm seeking God with all my heart. And I'm just not hearing from him. I'm not saying you're not, but I do think it's worth some searching, because the Bible's very clear here. Like, this is a promise that we can take to heart. You'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So here's what I'd say. I'm not saying you're not seeking him with all your heart. I just think it's worth some self-searching, because here's the reality. Our experience can't be the measure by which we understand Scripture. Scripture's got to be the standard by which we evaluate our experience. God's word means what it says, and that is a promise that we can take and apply to our life. And so if you're seeking after God's voice, you're not hearing from him, I would just want to encourage you, man, do a lot of digging. Ask God, Lord, is there anything that I'm unaware of that I'm holding back from you? seek his voice and do so with all your heart. When we withhold things from God, you know, I think a lot of us like kind of, I have this picture like we want to give God a microphone to speak into our life. But when we withhold things from him, we're handing him a microphone that's got no batteries in it. It's like, could he speak into our lives? Absolutely. But why would he if we only want to give him part of ourselves? Seek his voice. Here's the second thing. How do we hear God's voice? We seek his, God speak to us? We seek his voice. And then two, we obey his word. We obey his word. Look back in verse 10. The Bible says, Elijah says, I've been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only am left. Elijah's going, everybody that followed God's commands is gone. But God, I still do. I still want to follow your word. I still want to do what you say. Everybody else is gone, but God, I'm still here. Y'all, I told you, Elijah, in a few verses, is about to hear from God in an incredible way. But I think one of the things on the front end that prepares that to happen is found in that verse, that Elijah is saying, God, I'm trying to do everything that I can to follow your word. I'm trying to do everything that I can to follow your ways. I think so many of us, we put ourselves in a position where it's like we want to hear from God. We want God to speak into our circumstance. But there's this little area of our life that frankly, we're living how we want to. It's like God is the Lord of our life, but there's this little area that we just haven't given over to him. I wonder if you think back in your life, like I think back in my life, there's seasons where it's like, man, I just feel like I'm like under the waterfall of God's grace. I feel like I'm in a place where God just is speaking so clearly to me. I feel like, you know, every time I open up God's word, I feel like I'm getting something new and fresh. And then there's seasons in my life that are the complete opposite. Anybody been there? Where it's like, man, opening up the Bible just feels like a chore. Hearing from God, he feels so distant. When I pray, it feels like my prayers are just bouncing off the ceiling. We've all been in both of those seasons. Maybe, you know, many of us have spent lots of time in the season where it's like, I just don't know why I'm not hearing from God, why he feels so far away. I wouldn't call this a 100% success rate, but I would say that in my life, oftentimes, when I find myself in a season like that, where I just feel this distance from God, there is sin in my life that I am just unwilling to get out. And again, it's not every time. It could be for other reasons. But so many times, I think the reason that like seemingly distant feeling exists is because we find ourselves in a place where we're not obeying God's word. And on the contrary, man, when you think about those times in your life where you do feel like you're just under that waterfall of God's grace, that he is just like so close to you, those are often the times where you are being led by his spirit, right? I think there's something so significant about being in a place, not where you're perfect, none of us are there, but where you take your sin seriously. And I think if you can get to a place where you're taking your sin seriously and you're asking God, God, would you just search my heart and reveal to me any wicked way within me, then I think you put yourself in an incredible place to be able to hear from God. Y'all, here's the last thing. I told you, if you want to hear from God, seek his voice, obey his word, and finally, quiet your spirit. Quiet your spirit. Read with me in verse 11. We're going to see God speak directly to Elijah. God said, go out and stand on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice that said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I've been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. The people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus." And for the sake of not pronouncing lots of difficult names, I'm going to stop there. But here's what happens. God is about to give Elijah, he gives him specific instructions that are going to take him to the next step in his life. The next thing that God is going to do through Elijah to like richly bless him. He's actually, in those verses, going to give Elijah the person that's going to succeed him in his ministry. Like God speaks specifically into Elijah's situation in this moment. And it's incredible. However, when we read this passage, and we see God speak, God's voice is almost the opposite of what you'd expect. Did you guys catch that? What happened? Elijah goes up onto this mountain, just like he's told, and there's this wind, this like powerful wind. I picture this wind is like the kind of wind that like could lay trees flat, this powerful wind. And you just expect that those next words to say, and then God's voice boomed and spoke to Elijah exactly what he wanted Elijah to do. But the Bible says God's voice wasn't in the wind. And then after this wind, there's this earthquake. I mean, like mountain shaking, rocks cracking open, this powerful earthquake. And you expect, I expect the next few words to say, and then God's voice boomed right after the earthquake and told Elijah exactly what he was supposed to do. But the Bible says he wasn't in the earthquake. And then you read and it's like, all right, now there's this huge, like a fire comes down. And you're like, this has got to be it. Like, God has been present in fire before. And so this fire comes down. And I just picture it as like, man, this fire that burns up everything close to it. Like, you can feel its heat. It's blinding. And then all of a sudden, you expect those next few words to say, and God's voice boomed and told Elijah exactly what he was supposed to do. But no, the Bible says he wasn't in the fire. Here's what's interesting. We often expect that when we hear from God that it's going to be this extraordinary, revolutionary, undeniable, maybe even audible voice. And I just want you to know that biblically, when it comes to hearing from God, that is more often the exception than the norm. Oftentimes, when we see in Scripture God speak to His people, sure, there's the burning bush encounters and like the donkey spoke to people and the writing on the wall, but more times than not, when we see God speak to His people in Scripture, it looks a lot different. It looks a lot different. God doesn't speak most consistently in loud and dramatic fashion. Most often, He speaks to us just like He did to Elijah, in a still small voice. God doesn't always speak through by means of like dramatic ways. Sure, He may to you to get your attention. I'm not saying He can't. But so often, y'all, the way that God speaks to us is a quiet voice in our spirit, a quiet guiding and leading, prompting, shifting our desires, like moving us towards Himself. That's so often how God speaks to us, and it's how God spoke to Elijah. Now, here's the issue with that. That if God speaks most often in a still small voice, the danger with that is that we live in a culture that is just inundated with noise. every minute of our day almost, there is an opportunity for you to be surrounded by noise. Your cell phones, social media, the news, like what's going on in the world. And it doesn't even have to be bad things. It could be the amount of time you spend in the library. It could be the fact that from the moment you wake up till the moment you go to bed, you're surrounded by your friends and you guys are hanging out and having a great time. It's not to say that those are all bad things. It's simply to say that in our culture, in our society, like the way that we operate is constantly surrounded by noise. But God speaks in a still, small voice. I think back to elementary school. Any elementary education majors in the room? Okay, got some advice coming y'all's way. Here we go. Yep, you're in your next class for the day. How many of you can think back to elementary school? You're in kindergarten, and it's just like, man, the classroom is going insane. And the teacher is trying to get a hold of the classroom. The kids are like just talking super loud to one another. And so what the teacher does is the teacher tries to talk over the kids. And the kids are like, well, I can't hear what you're saying. And so they talk a little bit louder. And so it just becomes like all this noise and chaos. And it gets incredibly loud. And then, I don't know if you guys had teachers that did this. Here's my trick. What you do in a room like this, whenever it's just, man, like these kids are going crazy. I had some teachers that what they would do in the midst of all of the noise. Cool, wasn't it? They would just talk it like this normal, soft volume. And the kids would begin to recognize like, oh, wait a second, I think that the teacher is trying to say something and I can't hear it. And if it's the teacher that's saying it, it must be important. And so I need to be quiet. And little by little, one by one, what begins to happen in the room is that it becomes quieter and quieter and quieter. And the quieter it gets, the easier it becomes to figure out what the teacher is saying. And that is the picture of tonight. That is the picture of our culture. That so often for us, man, we exist in this culture of noise. And if we could just get to a place where we could just dial down the noise, I think God would speak so clearly to us. And so, practically, what does that look like? Well, I wonder if you have some regular rhythms implemented into your day, implemented into your week, that you just get to get away from the noise. You get to spend some time with the Lord in prayer. You just get to open up His Word. Maybe it's not even that. Maybe you just sit there and wait for God to say something to you. But we all, if God speaks most primarily in this still, small voice, you know what we need? We need disciplines of silence so that we can hear Him. And I'll tell you, and you guys know this, like one of the greatest enemies to disciplines of silence is your cell phone. I mean, isn't that where you're like constantly inundated by the most noise? And so from a real practical standpoint, like, man, if you want to implement disciplines of silence into your life, I would just suggest either putting this on Do Not Disturb or better yet, leave it on the other side of the room. Like leave it somewhere that you can't get to it, because I'm telling you, God speaks most clearly when you are when like the world is at its most quiet. So do you implement regular rhythms of silence into your life? Y'all, God speaks. He speaks clearly. And He wants to speak to you. And that is crazy. Again, I told you earlier, I don't want us to miss the weight of that. That like the King of the universe, that like built the foundations of the world, cares so much about you and your situations and your circumstances that He actually wants to, has a desire to speak to you if you would just let Him. If you would seek His voice, if you would obey His word, and if you would quiet your spirit. if you would practice regular rhythms of silence throughout your day. We see that God spoke to Elijah. Elijah didn't know what to do next. He had no idea like what he needed to do in life. He was at a loss, but God spoke to him and radically changed everything. And tonight, I believe that if you came into this room and you found yourself just at a loss, don't know what to do, I believe that God tonight wants to speak directly into your story and that he can change everything. I believe that's true. And I hope you do too. And so what I want to ask you to do is I just want to invite you to close your Bible, and I want to invite you to stand to your feet. The band is about to lead us in another worship song. And y'all, I just want you to use this worship song as an opportunity to respond as you feel led. And so tonight, man, if you're identifying any one of those things that you're going, okay, I've not done a good job at obeying God's word, and there's sin in my life that I need to get rid of. Or you're going, I've not done a good job of seeking God's voice with my whole heart. There are things I'm holding on to that I don't want to let God into. I want to invite you during this response song to like ask God to search your heart and make those things known. Or maybe this is like the one time, for the first time in your week, that you're going to get a moment where things are quiet. And I don't mean like physically quiet. Like our speakers are kind of loud. But what I mean is it's a moment between you and the Lord where you can just close your eyes and be uninterrupted. And so whatever that looks like for you, man, I want to invite you to take that step to respond as God leads you. If there's anybody here tonight that doesn't have a relationship with the Lord, I want you to know God wants a relationship with you. He wants to speak to you. He wants to change everything about your life, so much so that he was willing to send his son Jesus to die for you. He was willing to send his son Jesus to pay the penalty that you deserve to pay because of your sin. But the good news is that Jesus didn't just die and stay dead. He died and he rose again 3 days later, proving that he holds the keys to death and the grave. And he, if you believe in him, if you place your trust in what he did for you on the cross, then you can have a relationship with him. And if you're interested in making that decision tonight after the service, I'll be standing right down front, and I'd love to walk you through what it means to become a follower of Jesus. But right now, I want to pray, and I want to invite you to simply respond as the Lord leads you as the band begins to play in just a moment. Let me pray for us. Father, we love you. We praise you. God, we thank you that like in your infinite power and glory, God, that you speak to us. Lord, it's mind-blowing. And God, I pray we wouldn't lose sight of that. Lord, I pray that these students would seek after you with their whole heart. I pray that they would be in obedience to your word. And God, I pray that they would implement rhythms of silence into their life. Lord, I pray that this would be a room full of students who are led by God, who are shaped by your word. What you speak into their life, the guidance that you give them, that they would be full of the Holy Spirit, and that would just change everything about who they are. Father, thank you so much for all you do for us. I pray, God, that you would stir in hearts tonight. We love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.